Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Father, we thank you for your word and for this privilege we have of gathering together around the table of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for the provision that you have made that we might have this fellowship with you as you have ordained. We pray, Father, that you would by your Spirit minister to our hearts through your word. And then as we are gathered around your table, that you would grant that we might be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man. Grant, we pray, the sense of the presence of the Spirit of God, lifting up Jesus Christ as we are gathered here tonight. In his name we pray. Amen. Day by day, as we walk the Christian life, we are not really aware of the battles that are going on. We look at the people around us as sometimes being a source of irritation and somewhat of a battle. We look at the circumstances that come upon us and recognize sometimes they give us problems. But we don't really evaluate properly the battle that is going on. And many times we forget the admonition that Paul gives in Ephesians 6:12, that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. We get so used to looking at flesh and blood and walking in this world that we think in terms of the people and the circumstances. Paul says that's not the real battle. The real battle is a spiritual battle. It's against wicked spirit forces in the heavenlies. And so it's a battle that is beyond flesh and blood. And so we war not. We don't do battle according to flesh and blood because of the nature of the battle. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal because they're of no value against that type of an enemy. How then can we do battle against Satan and against the spirits of wickedness that would oppose our faithful walk in Jesus Christ? I believe we are given here in this verse that which God desires to teach us regarding our daily battle. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The basis for our victory as Christians is the blood of the Lamb. As we celebrate the table of the Lord, we are remembering his shed blood. And we are told, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Why was Jesus so concerned that we be constantly reminded of his shed blood? Not merely of him, not merely of his death, but the cup represents his blood. And so although we remember his death, we very specifically in the cup remember his blood. We are told here that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. This reminds us of the Old Testament sacrifices when lambs were brought as sacrifices. The Israelites were constantly reminded at the altar as the Lamb was slain, the blood was shed. They were constantly reminded of the promise of the coming Redeemer, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, and the importance of the blood. In the entire Bible, the word blood is used 460 times, giving us an indication of the importance that God places upon the blood. And we are told that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, the natural man hates the blood. The liberal theologian despises the blood. They try to get rid of the blood. And we have sought from time to time to warn you about certain of the translations of the Bible. The Good News for Modern Man, today's English version, in various places of its translation, obviously avoids the word blood. For example, in the scripture we read in our message this morning, at the close of the message, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And today's English version translates that with the costly sacrifice of Christ. You say, well, what's the difference? Costly sacrifice. Doesn't that sound pretty good? The thing is, where is the word blood? Because in the original, the word blood is there. You know what hemoglobin is? Okay, that's the Greek word. Haima is blood. But it doesn't come through. Why don't they translate it? They have a natural aversion for the blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, is translated, in whom we have redemption by the death of Christ. And so they avoid the word blood. But God doesn't avoid it. And 460 times in the Bible we have the word blood. But Satan hates the blood. Why does Satan hate the blood? Satan hates the blood because we are told here that they overcome him by the blood. The blood is his defeat. And so he hates the blood. Now in the Old Testament we have a vivid example of the power of the blood. In Exodus chapter 12, as the Israelites were preparing to leave the land of Egypt, God had brought many plagues upon the Egyptians, and the last plague that He was going to bring upon them was that of the death of the firstborn. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt was to die. But God told His people that He was giving them a protection against the angel of death. He said, I want you to gather your families into your homes. And there in the home, with the family all gathered together, you slay a lamb. You take the blood of that lamb and you put the blood on the doorposts of the house, on the lintel above and on the sides on the posts. And the angel of death will not enter your house. Inside there will be protection. We already read that in previous plagues, the entire land was in darkness, but inside their homes there was light. And so God's provision for His people of protection from the destroyer. Now we are told in Scripture that these things were written for our learning, for our instruction. You say, well, can we claim the blood for our protection over our homes? These things were written for our learning, for our instruction. But is that sufficient warrant for us to claim the blood of that Passover lamb for our homes today? And Paul says, Christ, our Passover, is slain for us. What was the purpose of the slaying of the Passover lamb? It was for the protection of the homes of the believers. And today we claim the shed blood of Christ upon the door of our home, that the angel of destruction and disruption might not enter, but that inside there be peace and light. One mother poured out her heart to me of the distress and the agony of Sunday mornings, of trying to get the tribe out for Sunday school. She said, I don't know what to do. We've tried everything we can think of. And I said, get together with your husband and the two of you on Saturday night. Claim the blood of Christ and the door of your home, that the angel of destruction might not enter. That as you prepare for the house of the Lord, there might be peace in your dwelling. The next week she said to me, you can't believe the transformation, the peace that there was. And I believe God has provided peace for the homes of believers. Peace, protection, light for the homes of believers. These things are written for our instruction. Christ, our Passover, is slain for us. I believe that the church family can also claim that same protection. Where do we celebrate the table of the Lord? Where do we partake of that cup that symbolizes His shed blood? It's in the church, the gathering of the saints, where God's people are gathered together to worship Him. This is where the remembrance is of the shed blood of Christ, our Passover, slain for us. And I believe as a church we can claim the peace of God, the protection of God over the church family by the blood of Christ on the door of the church. These things are written for our instruction, for our edification, for our admonition, for our protection. I believe that God desires more than we can imagine that His people, in their homes and in their gatherings, be free from fear, from distress, from the wiles of Satan, as he would bring torment, as he would bring turmoil. God desires that there be protection for His people. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome him by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb. And so the basis for overcoming Satan is the blood of Christ. And then secondly, the means for overcoming Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I believe it is important that there be a verbal testimony to our claiming the blood. Now in salvation, many times we have opportunity to refer to Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so there's the aspect of believing with the heart, but there is also the aspect of confessing with the mouth. And we might believe in our hearts that the blood of Christ is powerful on our behalf. But they didn't just overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. It was also by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony, that they publicly would testify, that they would claim the blood of the Lamb for overcoming the evil one. And I believe we need to verbally claim the blood of the Lamb for overcoming Satan in his desires to bring turmoil and destruction to his people, to God's people. And so the word of their testimony, we read, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the word of their testimony. I do call upon his name. And so also here, the blood of the Lamb of God is powerful for overcoming Satan. But we must call. We must voice our testimony of our faith in the power of the shed blood of Christ. And so we overcome, not just by mental assent that, yes, I know, I believe that in my head, but by specific testimony. Just as the Israelites, they could have said, God said to slay that Passover lamb, and that the blood of the lamb would protect our firstborn. And I believe that. Sir, if you believe that, get that blood up on that door. And so also we can say, yes, I believe that the blood of Christ is powerful. If you believe that, get that blood upon the door. The word of their testimony claiming the power of the blood for the protection of the saints. There is power in the blood. We sing it. Power, power, wonder-working power. But we must claim it. We must claim the power of the blood of Christ for daily overcoming Satan in his warfare against us. And so the basis for overcoming Satan is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the means of overcoming Satan is the word of your testimony that you are claiming that shed blood as your victory. And then the third thing we see here is the requirement for overcoming Satan. They loved not their lives unto the death. Now, Satan desires that we would love our lives. Jesus warns us. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. He warns us about loving our life. Satan would desire that we love our life. He would have us think, however, that we can conquer him by not loving our lives. And that's not so. Now, this is a requirement, but this is not what accomplishes the battle. And sometimes Satan would give us the wrong idea, in that if we are determined to totally commit our lives to God and not love our lives, not seek to save our lives, but willing to lose our lives for him and for his sake, then all of a sudden comes the thought from Satan, oh, you're so spiritual, Satan certainly can't do anything to you. And we need to be warned. They did not overcome him simply by not loving their lives unto death. That is not the victory. That's not how we overcome. Martin Luther entered the monastery seeking after God. They gave him Luke 10:27 as his promise. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength, with all thy soul. And they said, do this and thou shalt live. And he tried. And the harder he tried, the worse it got. And the more miserable he became. And he found out it didn't do any good to try to love the Lord his God with all his heart and all his soul and all his strength and all his might. He couldn't do it. It didn't work. It didn't give any victory of any kind. Finally, he came across Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so the victory is not in our dedicating ourselves. Samuel Pierce, an English minister at conversion, resolved to dedicate himself wholly to the Lord. He drew up a covenant to make it more solemn, and then to make it even more binding, he signed it with blood drawn from his own body. Afterwards, he found it didn't work. His vows failed. He was plunged into great distress, driven into a more complete examination of his motives. He was led to see that he was attempting to carry on in his own strength. And so he took that blood-signed covenant and went up to the top floor of his father's house and tore it into little pieces and threw it out into the wind. And he resolved that henceforth he would depend for his peace-making and peace-keeping only the blood of Christ. And so we need to beware. It is not by not loving our lives that we overcome Satan. But that is a requirement. Because we will not and cannot effectively call, place as our testimony the blood of Christ if we are seeking for ourselves. And so there has to be that abandonment of our own self-seeking, willing to lose our lives for Christ's sake before we can effectively call upon Him and claim the power of His blood. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect." How are we made perfect? Not by struggling and striving and dedicating and committing. We are made perfect through the blood of the everlasting covenant. God, through the blood of Christ, perfects and protects His people. And so if we love our own lives, we're in rebellion, and we cannot effectively claim the blood. Just as with the Israelite that wandered outside of his house, exposed himself to death. He had to be under the protection, the authority of that home if he was going to be free from the angel of destruction. And so also today, children that wander out from under the protection of their home open themselves up to all kinds of satanic temptations. So also with the church member who wanders out from under the authority and protection of the local church, he opens himself up for all kinds of satanic temptations. And so there needs to be a dealing with that rebellion, that our hearts are in submission to Him. We love not our lives, even unto death. We are not willing to love our own lives. We're willing to lose them for Christ's sake and the gospel. And so if I have a rebellious spirit, it will do no good to claim the blood. The threefold victory over Satan is the power of the blood and our testimony in that we claim that blood and our attitude in that we do not trust in ourselves or love our own lives. Now, part of the purpose of the table of the Lord is to remind us of the blood of Christ. Not just the death of Christ. We do remember His death until He comes. But not just the death of Christ. Not just the broken body. But also the shed blood. And just as our only hope of eternal salvation is the shed blood of Christ, so also our only hope of daily victory is the shed blood of Christ. Salvation is not by trying to be good, it's by getting under the blood. And so also victory daily in our lives is not by trying to overcome, but it is by getting under the blood and claiming the blood of Christ, our Passover, shed for us. Now men tend to associate the word blood with war. God doesn't. God associates the word blood with peace. And so we have peace through the blood of Christ. And so we come to the table of the Lord, remembering His shed blood that cleanses us and that protects us. The cup is His blood. And the warning that we have is that if you're not under the blood, then do not partake of the cup. Because Paul warned the Corinthians that many amongst them were sick and some had died because they took part of the remembrance of the blood and they were not under the blood. And so as we partake of the table of the Lord, we come first in an attitude of examination, allowing His Spirit to examine our hearts as we come to remember His shed blood. Just as in baptism we publicly testify that the blood of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, is our only hope of salvation, so also in the communion service we testify that the shed blood of Christ is our only hope of daily overcoming sin. And so as we go to the table of the Lord, first of all, we'll have a time of silent prayer, seeking the Lord's face. And then as the Spirit of God would lead you and you desire to lead us in song, feel free to do so, that together we might worship Him, singing His praises and seeking His face and meditating upon His person. And so between each of the elements, as after we serve the elements and have a brief time of prayer, feel free to lead us in song. At this time then, let's have the men come and we will have our time then of prayer and silence, seeking the Lord's face.